Katie Hunter from MMA UK. We're here with our first ever girl show of the year of 2020. We have an amazing guest for you this evening, Olga Rubin. Hi, Olga.
Hi there.
And I'm joined by my fantastic co-host as ever, Becky Olga. Davis.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
And Kerry Stella.
Hello.
Nice to meet you all.
At
last.
Thanks so much for coming on the show. We've got loads we want to chat to you about. I know you said there's nothing new with you, but as I said to you, we just chat about all kinds of shit on this show.
That's awesome. I like
that.
Sorry.
Yeah, we chat shit.
So tell us what you are up to. You said you're having some physiotherapy at the moment.
Yeah. I'm working on everything I neglected during this entire, like, basically two camps. I've been just, like, piling over injuries and weak spots, and now would be a good time to take care of it.
Yeah. So no surgery or anything needed?
No.
Rehab?
Yeah, rehab.
And how long do you think you'll be kind of... You're still training at the moment, though, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm 100% I'm training, but I'm just working a lot of my physical aspect at the moment. So it won't be an issue next time.
Because like you said, like you had two fight camps really close together. And actually...
I had four.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you've had so much crammed into such a short space of time. For a record of 6-2, those last... like four fights just seem to be so close together.
I basically haven't been out of camp since November 2018.
Oh my god, that must take
a long time.
Yeah, so everything has just been piling up, you know. Eventually, as much as I would like to say that I'm very athletic, I'm still a human being, I'm not a robot, you know. So eventually things catch up, but I'm fine with this. I'm planning to fight hopefully April or May. That will be a good time.
I've heard a rumor there might be a London card in April. Could we see you on that?
London card. Yeah. I'm not even hinting. I want on that card.
We want you on the card too. That division is probably one of the most exciting divisions in Bellator. It's just like so deep with talent. And tell us what you think about Chris Cyborg signing for Bellator.
Well, I always wanted her to join us. I've been plotting this for a long time, because when she's in this division, it means that it's complete. Now it's a competition. Now it's not only Julia. We have so many different girls who started with like 1-0 like me in Bellator, and veterans like Leslie Smith, Kat Zingano just signed with Bellator. So this is legit. Like, this is the best division in the world.
And Sinead, that you just fought, Liam McCourt, who's fighting at Bellator Dublin. Like, there's just such a plethora of talent.
Arlene Blanco. Amazing fighters. There is no better 145 division in the world.
Oh, 100%. And do you have someone in mind that you'd like to fight next?
Oh gosh, I have plenty, but basically whoever Bellator gives me, I'm down for it. So any talented ladies I want to fight.
Give us two names then that you would like to fight.
Nah, I'm going to keep this to myself, Ram.
Okay.
Yeah, that was okay. For you. Nice though. Nice try. Not today.
I actually interviewed Leah last week, and she said she'd really like to fight you at some point this year.
Really?
She's got a lot of respect for you as a fighter, and she thinks it'll be a really good fight.
Well, Leah's great, so I don't see why not. But yeah. I can literally pick 8 names I want to fight, so that would be unfair to choose one. It's basically I'm done for whatever happens, right?
It's quite new for the division when you can say that there's honestly that many people that you'd like to fight. Girls, who would you like to see Olga fight next?
Sorry?
I was just going to ask Becky and Kerry who they want to see you fight next.
I'd like to see Leah fight Olga. I think Olga is such a big contender for all of them. I think they all probably want to fight Olga, but because obviously she's such a really, really good fighter. But I think I'd like to...
Thank you. I'm blushing. I'm already red.
Oh, don't be daft. Don't be daft. I'd like to see Leah versus Olga. That would be a good one.
Kerry?
Well, you know, honestly, somebody's got a welcome cat. Somebody's got a welcome cat, and I think that
would be a perfect
welcoming fight for her.
Never mind what would be my next fight. Kat Zingano is one of my idols in this transitioning in this MMA world. So for me to fight Kat would be like one of my ultimate goals. So this, if you give me five names, she's definitely one of them.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this division is stacked. It's so exciting.
I'm so even excited speaking about it. I'm like all hot and see, I need to schedule a fight. That's it. That's done. Whenever I get this rash, you know what it means.
You need to get your physio done first.
Yeah.
Calm down, girl.
Sounding like a mother. Sounds like a mother giving a lecture.
How do you see the fight going between Julia Budd and Cyborg?
Oh my God, I'm so excited for this fight, really.
Yeah.
Listen, Julia Budd is so, so amazing, really. She's strong, she's athletic, she's really strong. Like, people don't really understand what the power of this lady is. But Chris is also the same level.
Yeah.
So basically, it's a clash of the titans, really.
Yeah.
The thing is that I see that Julia being much more tactic.
Yeah.
And being way more careful in the first couple of rounds and trying to make it towards the later rounds. And Cyborg trying to finish the fight early. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, me too.
I'm actually commentating this fight in Israel for the Israeli Bellator channel.
Oh, wow.
That's
so this is like, this is awesome.
Is this the first time you've done that, Olga? Or have you done that for them before?
Never.
Oh, wow. This is another, like, string to your bow.
Yeah.
Are you nervous about it at all? Have you been practicing?
No, I haven't been practicing, but I am nervous about it, yeah.
You'll have to watch some old fight footage with, like, the sound turned down and
give your own version of it.
I'm really bad at commentating, so hopefully this will not go too bad. And also, I have kind of, like, Tourette's in that way. Like, I sometimes, like, curse words just, like, fly out of my mouth and I don't really mean it, so...
That's what I'm about.
Yeah, I need to censor myself.
I get told I curse too much, and I'm like, you can't curse too much.
Not when you're officially commentating, that would be a bit awkward.
Yeah.
Imagine commentating, though, on like the Ngannou knockout of Overeem or something like that. What else can come out of your mouth than shit?
Come on. Like, I cannot understand how Joe Rogan and people like that, like, how do they not,
don't,
like,
swear.
Yeah, it's insane.
Joe tends to sometimes,
yeah, rarely.
Well, yeah, more than any of them, like, if it's, especially if it's a huge knockout, it's so funny, like, yeah. I'll catch him cursing, but not very often. It's not often that you hear, but he just says some funny shit. But how could you not, like you said, like, that something like that is, like, dramatic sound effect at best. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like you can't say anything.
So one of the commentators at Pro Bellum, like, came out and apologised for swearing when David Gallon did that Rolling Thunder knockout of Ross Pearson. But again, that was an oh shit moment. There's nothing else you can say that like sums it up.
You know, they always tell us, if you win and you get an interview, please do not swear. And every time people are like, you know, people just lose it. So like pure emotions, you can't really control
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's hard to remember rules when you've just like won a fight, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, want to follow them at that moment. You just got in there and either, you know, when you win, you either like had a really great fight and you pummeled the person, or it could have been a really short fight. But either way, your adrenaline is going so much. The last thing you're thinking about is, oh, let me not curse.
Exactly.
Kerry, have you ever given commentary a go? You seem like you would be good at it.
Not yet.
I agree.
Not yet. That is something that I am definitely thinking of.
Becky, have you ever given it a go?
No, I haven't. I've always wanted to commentate, but I've never. I think I'm one of these people that would say, yeah, I'd love to do it, but I'd absolutely crap myself when I sat on the seats with the headphones on. My mind would probably go blank. And also with the medication I'm on, it's not very good for me to be commentating at the moment because my memory loss is not very, is a high at the moment. So I have to be very careful. But yeah, I've always wanted to commentate, definitely. And maybe I'll give it a go one day.
If memory loss is an issue, then I should not be doing this.
I'm not sure if it's the punch to the head or the medication. I'm not quite sure. It's either one or the other.
I mean, like, this is not a real issue. Like, doesn't really matter. You should commentate.
I'll do it now that you've said I'll give it a go. I'll do it just for you, Olga, okay?
Thanks. Worst case scenario, you forget something, you do.
The other commentator could take over.
Even now.
It's a team as well. Hopefully, if you forget something, the other person will.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Katie, I just had an idea. Maybe you and I should commentate. We should kidnap a promoter and just say to him, look, me and Katie are commentating tonight. We should commentate together. That would be really good fun.
Maybe we could try and persuade them rather than kidnap them.
No, we'll do it my way.
You ladies probably commentate much better than most of commentators, so you should give it a go.
Yeah, I think right, just do it. Commentators, it'd be fun, definitely.
Watch your space. If you're a promoter, knock your doors tonight.
Oh yeah, two mad ladies commentating. That'd be fun.
So, Olga, another thing that I wanted to ask you about, you put it on Instagram sometime last year, and I was absolutely astounded because I think you've got one of the most banging bodies, not just in the sport, but like that I've ever seen. And you were having a go at some trolls saying, they said that like the skin on your stomach or something hung, like was funny. And you were saying like, this is how, like where I've had a baby.
Yeah, I remember that.
It is insane that somebody would pick on anybody's body like that. But the body.
The thing is that this is an instant. This is internet trolls. You know, there's nothing you can do about it. The people waking up in the morning and saying, "Oh, my life is shit. I need to do something." Oh, you see this lady? Let's pick on her. So basically, I'm not really giving it too much attention. But still, it kind of freaked me out that I see ladies. Then I enter the profile because it's really interesting to know why. Yeah. And you see like their moms and stuff, and I'm like,
yeah,
oh my God, it was gold.
This is okay. Like this loose stomach is fine. Like this doesn't make me, I don't know, not sexy in any way or not feminine or not. I don't feel it. Like I gained so many kilos and then lost everything. Of course, I'm gonna have like loose skin. Where's Katie?
I mean, I to me, it's insane that people would say that about anyone, but about someone who looks as healthy and strong and like has got such a positive body image, it's just, I just can't understand it at all. And I just don't know how people deal with it. To me, that says that everybody who's got any kind of public image is just going to get torn down on the internet.
Exactly. Like, at first I was really astonished, like, how this is happening. Like, I'm pretty likable, like, as a human being, so... But then, like, it's not really up to me. It's not my fault. Like, it's nothing I've done. Just people. And internet, it's a weapon, you know? They can ruin you. They can build you. Like, nowadays, you see 15-year-old girls, like, start TikToks and become, like, famous for, like, being viral and dance.
Yeah.
And people tear them apart. And, like, for what reason?
Yeah.
It's just, it is what it is, I guess.
It is, because obviously these people have got so much insecurities in their own life, they have to go and pick on other people for their own personal insecurities. So it's, I think you have to be quite a strong-minded person to sort of let most of it go over your head, or all of it go over your head. It's disgusting. I mean, it's everywhere. It's rife. There are those kinds of trolls everywhere, in all shapes and forms of walks of life, picking on everybody. So don't ever take it personally. You know, obviously the people that like us who know you and fighters, you know, it's not the way we think at all. I mean, to be a mother as well in this game is quite hard, having to juggle everything about as well. So, you know,
this is literally the hardest part of my profession.
Yeah
I can imagine that
every single day, like, you know, it's hard.
Yeah I totally understand,
because so many of the fighters that I speak to tell me that they have to be selfish, you know, they just focus on themselves. They just focus on what they're eating, when they're training, and nothing else. For anyone who's a mum in this sport, and to an extent dads, but not to be sexist, but I think for them, even more so, you can't have that same selfishness all the time, because you've got someone else or others to look after.
Yeah.
I think it's all about balance, because, like, you can't do anything perfect. Like, as a fighter, you always try to perfect everything you do, but, you know, there is a limit where you can get, but you still need to work. There's same as a routine with a kid.
Yeah.
You just need to find a routine, what works for the kid, the mom, the dad, doesn't matter, like, whatever works for the family. Otherwise, it's completely impossible and it's chaos. I found my niche, but it's really hard to find it.
Yeah.
And even now, you know, it's not like I'm not struggling. A mom cannot leave her child for 2 weeks and be okay with this, obviously.
Yeah.
But I do think as well, it's really positive for kids to have a role model of a working mom. I think for that, you know, your son will grow up with a lot of respect for women. And
you're speaking about 10 years from now.
Yeah. I know that doesn't help now.
Four years of age. He understands that I need to work. He doesn't understand why I need to leave him. So this is it. Yeah.
Mom, well, I'm pretty sure when he's a bit older, you can just incorporate him into a bit of training, let him see what you do, you know, all that kind of thing.
We are working on it. He's training jiu-jitsu. He's not even 4.
Oh, that's lovely. That is.
It's amazing, but still, it's about leaving for a couple of weeks, for 3 weeks at a time.
Yeah,
that must be so hard.
Oh, my God. Manage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lee is doing the same thing at the moment as well. She's over at Next Gen training because Owen Roddy is in Vegas, obviously, with Connor. And she's leaving her little girl. So shout out to all the moms. You know, carrying that mum guilt, because if you're, you just feel guilty all the time, don't you? No matter what you do.
You just said it perfectly. Always guilty. Always guilty for everything. And also, you know, there are so many moms in Bellator, like so many different featherweights, flyweights who are moms.
Yeah.
And it's not just me. Everybody struggles with it. It's a part of being an athlete who wants to be the best, but in order to be the best, you need to put everything in into you. But yeah, you still have somebody who really you want more for.
Yeah. Like,
I rather do things for him than myself, and still I need to kind of find the balance here. So many moms probably struggle with this. So shout out to all the moms.
Yeah.
Yay.
What did you think of Mackenzie Dern? I don't know whether you saw her fight. She came back like a ridiculously short time after giving birth. I think she came back about
4 months.
Oh my goodness.
Really? Yeah, bad.
4 months. And she got beaten up in there as well, which was pretty
hard. That's terrible.
To watch, but
you're not going to get your strength back in 4 months. No way.
Well, thumbs up for trying. She's a fighter. That's what she does. She has an obstacle. She has to go through it. So I can only say good things about her. Obviously, it was more irrational than rational. But aren't we all irrational, you know? I can embarrass 6 months. Delivering a baby, so
I imagine that part of it was to do with money, and I just wish that fighters got paid a bit more so she felt she could get a bit more time off.
Yeah,
I'm sure it was tough to go through a fight. If you think about it, she must have started fight camp 2 months after giving birth.
Yeah,
a very short fight camp.
She already showed videos of her moving around the gym, I think a week after she delivered, when a doctor obviously says 6 weeks before even walking.
Yeah. How long was
it in there, really
but
quick?
Still, it's a recommendation, you know, if she was fine, she had no problems down there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every woman is different. I cannot say about myself in my pregnancy, like her pregnancy, like we're all different. So if she felt she can be back after 4 months.
Yeah.
She looked in shape, though.
She looked in shape. The fight didn't go her way.
You know, leaner than she did when before her pregnancy.
Yeah. She made weight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. But how long was it before you were back training again? Because I know you had your first Bellator fight was like, is that 6 months after you gave birth?
Yeah.
Whoa, that, you must be a machine.
I was stupid. I've done some silly things. Like I've done really bad things I shouldn't have done to get this fight.
We all have.
So what advice would you give to, like, young fighters that are just coming through? If you think you've made, like, silly decisions, what's your top advice for people just starting out who would love to be in your position one day?
I know it sounds like a cliche, but if you really want it and you really work for it, you're going to get it. There is no shortcuts, like, it's either you have this fire in you to be the best or you don't. Otherwise, I wouldn't have stepped in the gym 25 kilos overweight 4 weeks after I gave birth in a jiu-jitsu class where people just killed me and I was still bleeding, you know, like if I didn't want this really bad, right?
Yeah.
So basically, if there's a mountain, just move it.
Yeah.
Simple as
I'm
that.
I'm not saying be stupid like Olga Rubin. I don't mean like, hey, I just delivered the baby immediately, like fuck my pelvis and like let's go to the gym. No, don't be stupid. I'm just saying if there's a mountain, try to move it.
Were you in pain when you started training again?
Oh yeah.
Oh God. Wow.
Pain. I was jumping. I was jumping rope, and I started peeing.
As you did, like that.
You know, the relaxing, the amount of relaxing you have in your body after you give birth. Also, you know, the sore boobs. I was breastfeeding, so it was even worse. The amount of relaxing makes your joints so, like, bendy and weird. So every low kick I got, you see my knee, like kind of inverts and...
Ugh. Wow.
Yeah, it wasn't a smart thing, looking back at it.
But it worked out well for you.
Yeah. Thank God.
So you experienced loss for the first time in your career this year.
Twice.
Yeah. How has that been?
It's been tough, obviously. It's hard to accept the loss. But on the other hand, I'm okay with the losses because I learned a lot from them. And if I think...
I was just going to ask that, actually. I was going to say to you, do you feel like you've learned from the losses rather than feel angry? Do you feel like it's a learning curve?
Definitely a learning experience. You know, after my title fight, I was like sitting all depressed and shit in my locker room. And then Julia came up to me immediately afterwards and she's like, you know what? The two losses I had like during my career are the best things that ever happened to me. I really like hope you're going to have the same like outcome. So I think she's completely right. Like the loss hurts so much, you just don't want it again. So you want to get better and better and learn from the mistakes you've done. Yeah. It's a fight. Like I'm not taking this personally. I don't think I'm a worse fighter for this. Like people get caught. People make mistakes. It's up to me as a professional just to learn from them and try and not make them as they go forward.
Yeah. And is there anything you want to change up in your camps or anything, or is it just about learning more every day and getting better?
Exactly. I love my camps. Like this is where I feel comfortable, and the more time I spend with the Great Britain Top Team and Brad Pickett is better. I'm pretty good where I am right now.
And Julia's only two losses that she spoke to you about were to Ronda Rousey and Amanda Nunes, right?
Yeah.
She is a beast. I'm so excited for that cyborg fight.
Yeah. And she's very tactical. She's like, I think she analyzes every single story that each of us from the division puts out.
Yeah.
She looks huge. She's for like, the weight class.
She's like completely professionally.
She looks, to me, she looks absolutely huge for the weight class. Like whenever I see her at weigh-ins, standing, like the ceremonial weigh-ins, standing next to whoever she's fighting, she just looks like a beast.
I felt like her baby. Honestly, like we were doing the weigh-ins and we were both like she was 145, I was 143.5.
Yeah.
And we looked approximately at the same size because we're the same height. We're basically the same height. And then I saw her the next day during the fight and she was across me in the cage and I was like, when? How? Like, how? I couldn't believe my eyes, but yeah.
Is that getting your head at all? Like, when you're just suddenly like, shit, you're massive.
It might make me want to finish the fight sooner. I mean, I really was looking for that one punch. Like, I was really trying to get up with my left and, like, really stun her. Made a mistake. Took a couple of steps backwards, accepted a really bad kick, and that was it. Yeah. She happened. But believe me, I've never caught a kick since.
Yeah, I'm sure. I remember Dan Hardy saying in his book, when he was fighting Rumble, that when they both weighed in at, it's amazing to think that Rumble ever made welterweight, but when they both weighed in at 170, he was like, do you know what? Actually, he's not that much different to me. And then he said the exact same thing. The next day in the cage, he put on 44 pounds.
Wow.
Oh, my God. 44. Like, oh, my God. This is healthy.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
That's insane.
I wonder how much Julia cuts.
I don't know, but it looks like a lot.
We'll have to find out. We'll have to get some insider information.
I'm pretty sure she's not going to give us information.
I'm pretty sure she won't
want anyone to
know. She's probably walking around 77.
I was going to say, I think when she fights Cyborg, we'll get a good indication because they'll probably come in close to their walking weight. And I know Cyborg's like, what, 175, maybe even bigger? 179, I heard.
She's been higher. Yeah, I know she went into one fight camp at one fight. Yeah, it must have been fight camp rather than fight week at 190.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that they'll probably walk in looking similar in that respect. I don't think either one will be bigger than the other. Maybe Chris, but who knows?
It'd be interesting to see them on the scales.
Mm-hmm.
And in the cage on the night.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's a matter of who rehydrates better.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, buzzing for that one.
But I'm really excited for this fight.
Yeah.
Well, you'll probably end up facing one of them again, or one both. Of them for the first time. Or both.
Both.
You know who else would be a really great fight? Leslie Smith.
Yeah, definitely.
I felt that Sinead actually beat her. When they fought, I think a lot of people did. You were on that card as well. I guess you didn't get a chance.
You know, I was watching this fight in my hotel room because we weren't in the facility yet. And I saw this fight and I was like, Sinead's winning. And then Leslie won and I was like, oh, she's gonna be pissed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So basically this is what happened.
Another veteran though, and like another really cool person having that division, like another potential great fight. Oh, it's just, it's got to be up there for one of the best.
So many good fights.
Yeah.
I tell you who I would like to see, thinking about it, is I used to look after Sinead at Bama, and I've been cage side when her fist has knocked somebody out, and oh my God, it's very rare you see strikes like hers. I'd like to see Cyborg versus Sinead. That's who I'd really like to see, because they're both heavy strikers. So that would be quite an interesting one, that one, thinking about it, or thinking about striking and the pair of them. I think that would be a good one.
There's so many good matches to be made in that division. It's just...
Yeah.
So I've already asked you about advice for like people who want to get into being a proper fighter. What about for the man on the street like me? I've done a load of training in the last few days and I am dying, Olga. Is it best to just keep on trying to push through it and keep on training, or should I rest? Please say rest.
Well, what kind of answer are you seeking for? A Brad Pickett answer, or a bit lighter?
We know what that is.
He would probably tell you to take a man up
pill. Man the fuck up pill.
Yeah. Like, oh look, there's a man up pill. Take it. You need it. Stop being worse.
Okay.
No, I'm joking. For me tomorrow, if you're feeling really unwell, you should probably continue working out, but really lightly, like.
Yeah.
A light jog or something to just move the blood a little.
My body's not used to it.
I'll give you some advice, Katie. I can't wrestle or do any groundwork anymore because of my back problem. So what I say to you is do it, because someone like me can't do it anymore, and I would love to be able to do it again.
Okay,
all I can do
tomorrow.
Do it for the ones who can't.
Yeah, do it for the wins account. Do it for people
rehab,
like me.
Both in rehab.
Hey!
Kerry, surely you're going to tell me to take a rest day.
No, I cannot, because at the same time, as Becky says, with my shoulders and the condition they've been in for these 5 years.
We're all in a bad way over here. And the MMA chicks are in a bit of a bad way.
We're all a mess.
We're all a mess.
What should I say? My back is killing me. My knees are fucked. Everything is like... I'm still going to train tomorrow. I'm going to spar.
Oh,
yes.
And you're still sparring as well?
Yeah, of course. I went to, like, sparring wrestling this morning, and I'm fine.
So, you're in the UK at the moment, right?
Yeah.
So, you're training with GB Top Team, Brad Pickett's head coach.
Yes, sir.
Great things coming out of your that team at the moment, and all your teammates. Tell us how everyone's getting on. Tell people who they should be looking out for this year.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We have so many talented people. Like, this is the best team I could possibly have. We have so many talented people. We have Ashley Grimshaw, Richie Edwards, Luis Gonzalez, Lonnie Kavanaugh. You know, he's a huge prospect. He's 2-0. He's going to continue, like, rising. He's going to go to the UFC 100%. Charlotte McIntyre, Nathaniel Wood, Michael Condeo, Shane Campbell. I have so many names to give you. We have Claire Lopez, which just started. Like Wesley Maya. You know the names better than I do, I guess. You've been interviewing all my friends lately because they've been fighting.
And I saw that
Luke Trainer.
Well, Luke Trainer's making his Bellator debut soon. So that's super exciting.
I'm so excited.
So maybe you two will be on the same card in London.
Hopefully we're going to be in the same card and also bring everybody along. Charlotte, everybody.
Oh, that would be amazing.
We'll be on the same card.
And Charlotte had a successful pro debut also at Bellator.
Yes.
That was just a couple of months ago. No, I didn't get the pleasure of being there, unfortunately. I was away. But I definitely want them to announce this April date so that I can block it out in my calendar.
Please do. Anyways, she had an amazing, amazing fight. She really had to show her skills. She could really show her skills in that fight. I'm super proud of her. I actually flew to London after my fight to make sure that I'm here to watch her. And Shane also was in the same card.
Yeah. Well, she absolutely.
So I was there with my black eye.
Oh. she just
they barely let me in the airport.
Oh, God. And after she'd had that long out of the cage as well, she really struggled to get her first pro fight, didn't she?
Yeah. No one wants to fight her.
Yeah. It's a common story.
I know a couple of names that turned her down.
Yeah. Tough. And especially... fighting at featherweight as well, just there seems to be even fewer girls that want to fight at featherweight apart from the ones who are already established. You know, there's not that many.
But she was also down to fighting in bantamweight, so
yeah,
it's not about the division. She just she's really talented, she's really good, and I think she's much better than her record.
Yeah.
You know, she's 1-0 basically, but her level is really high. So I know girls are probably really scared of her.
Do you think Bellator have got any interest in bringing in a bantamweight division, or is that competing with the UFC too much and they want to get the best girls in one division first?
First of all, I know they don't really have an issue of competing with UFC. We all know that. But ultimately, you know that Elie Malay, after her her last win, she asked for a bantamweight division. She's like, I want to be a double champ. Please, like, open a new division for me. So hopefully this is going to kickstart things. I heard rumors about eventually opening a bantamweight division, but I don't know. I don't know. I know they're building the 145 right now and the 125, so we'll see.
Could you ever see yourself fighting at bantamweight? Like, you don't look like you've got a spare ounce to lose at featherweight, but...
Well, that's not true according to all of my team. Got like 15 kilos. Yeah.
Oh, you're a lightweight.
No, I'm pretty sure I will eventually.
Yeah.
I don't know when. Maybe in like 5-6 years from now. Eventually, I'll make it then. Somewhere.
And Yuki as well. I saw that Yuki's taking part in the 4-man tournament at Cage Warriors Academy Southeast in March. That'd be my first Cage Warriors event of the year. So that'll be exciting to see him in that. Against one of my teammates is in it as well. But yeah, just so much talent breaking through. That's cool.
Sorry?
I said there's so much talent breaking through. It's really exciting.
Yeah. Their shows are really good. The amateur level is really high. Like, there's a lot of talent in the UK, obviously.
Yeah.
The people in my office, they're always like, you train all the time. In their eyes, I train all the time. And they're like, would you ever have like another amateur fight? And I'm like, you don't understand. You do not understand. People don't just turn up and do a bit of training and then have a fight. Even the amateurs are treating this as a job. They're in the gym all the time. Like, it's insane, the level of... You know, even Olga, I think you've trained with Vadimus before at Stronger, Vadimus Gazutis.
Yeah.
He was like 16 when he first fought on the Rock Card. He's sensational at 16. It's just incredible to me how talented some of the like people coming through at that level are.
Yeah, they're really young. They're really young and their level is so high. They're training with 25, 30 year olds and kicking their asses, basically. Like, the level is so high right now. So when you step into our gym, most of our guys right now are still amateurs, but their level is pro and up.
Yeah.
Can imagine.
Girls, did you have any specific questions for Olga?
Me and Kerry. I'd like to know who you look up to, Olga. Like, who is maybe a female fighter that you've always loved, or you know, how, you know, when you got started in this, who was somebody that you really looked up to, or if you had a mentor, female wise.
Well, I wouldn't say mentor, but like the most impact on me was probably Misha Tate.
Yeah.
Misha Tate and Kat Zingano.
Right.
Wow.
And when I started training and everything, I remember their fight. I was watching it after I was like already 3, maybe 2 years in training, still not even amateur level. I remember watching their fight and thinking like, this is incredible. This is like high level. Yeah. And I remember the impact of that fight on me.
That's
tough ladies.
Yeah, but they are legends. They are legends in the game. So if you're gonna go high, you might as well have like big legends to look up to.
Yeah.
I remember thinking that I wasn't even sure, like, if I would be that interested in girls fighting, like, to watch. And when Dana, like, first introduced them to the UFC, I was wondering what the kind of level of talent was going to be. And from the very first fight, I was totally hooked. I just, they had a point to prove as well, but they just went for it. And I was just hooked. And then since then, to think you've had like women headlining some of the biggest cards of all time just shows how quickly they've developed in the sport. And it's just awesome. Amanda Nunes and Valentina Shevchenko and Cyborg and Kat Zingano, they're like some of the biggest stars in the sport.
But you know what's really cool is that a lot of them started in Strikeforce. So a lot of them started with Scott Coker, and they're all kind of going back home, and so to speak, which is really, that's why I think it's so special that Cyborg signed with them, because of that. And then, you know, I watched quite a few interviews. It would actually be very interesting to see her come into any division in any other fight organization. Kayla Harrison's talked about going down to 145, because she said, how could she call herself the best if she's never been in the octagon or, you know, been fought for Bellator? So I know that she's like toyed around with super fights, which, you know, she's a big, you know, she's a big lady at 155, but she said she, you know, she wants to test herself and go down to 145. So I think that would be really cool. And, you know, to how long are you going to stay in a, you know, in a division, in an organization that doesn't have the depth that the rest of them do? So I think she would, I'm shocked she hasn't yet. Maybe next year. You know. Would you ever go up to 155 to fight? Maybe a PFL gave you a phone call?
I don't think so, because I'm pretty small for my own category, so I'd rather not go up. Like, I'm actually right now trying to bulk. I'm trying to bulk so hard.
All girls in that category is small. I look at them, I'm like, for 155?
But it's all not only about the calories.
Yeah.
Gaining lean muscles is really hard.
It is hard.
So definitely not a 155, maybe 135 eventually.
You've got to be. You've got to be.
Can definitely make 145. That's not even a question, Jean.
You've got to be comfortable. You've just got to. There's no point in killing yourself and making yourself feel ill